This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
And every weekday, we talk about a lot of different subjects in the Umpqua Valley. Right now, we're talking peace at home with Executive Director Melanie Prummer and also the Youth and Housing Project Manager, Thomas McGregor. Guys, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
So I guess, first of all, Melanie, talk about, since we're in the midst of the holiday season, we've done programs on this before, and I don't want to breeze past it, though we've got other things to focus on, about the domestic violence issues and the holidays and how that impacts that.
Yeah, like we've talked about in the past, Kyle, domestic violence is around power and control dynamics in a relationship. And so those dynamics that are in an unhealthy relationship often during the holidays or other stressful times throughout the year can be become worse when those stressors are impacting their relationship on top of that dynamic that exists. And so we know that there are a lot of folks out there that we're serving who may also be experiencing some financial difficulties, and that type of stress on top of that power and control dynamic can escalate things in the home. What we do commonly see is that people try really hard to hold it together during the holidays. And so our crisis line can be pretty quiet on Christmas Day. But we know from here on out, it's going to get really, really busy through March. That's the trend that we've seen for well over a decade. So we certainly want people who are wandering or have this gut feeling that their relationship may not be healthy, that they come talk to an advocate at our office or even call our crisis line. We're there Monday through Friday from 8:30 to 5 to understand maybe what's happening in your relationship and decide if it's unhealthy or maybe you're experiencing abuse.
And how do people get to contact you to that number?
Yeah, so they can call our crisis line at 541-673-6778 or walk into our office. And our office is located downtown at 1202 Southeast Douglas. So it's a little across the street from the courthouse on the corner of Douglas and Fowler Street.
So overall, talk about how Peace at Home has been doing this year. Maybe highlight some of the things that have been going on.
Yeah, well, I'll start with some exciting news. We had a really wonderful woman who donated a house to us, and we have not made this public yet. However, Thomas and I have certainly thought a lot about our own wills and working on our own wills. And so if you're thinking about writing your will and you would like to donate either your house or your car, or a part of your estate to a nonprofit, it's definitely a gift that is incredibly heartwarming, and we're excited to be able to do great things this upcoming year with that house that was donated. We're also really proud of our law enforcement agencies this year. The number of referrals and partnerships that we have with law enforcement has been very positive. They've been able to connect people to Peace at Home advocates through our crisis line when they go out on scene. And I think that's really valuable. So the onus of calling us is not on the person experiencing violence. Law enforcement helps make that call with them so that we can be supportive. And then I think the thing that's most surprising about this year, the last 3 to 4 months, we've seen a 60% increase in the number of sexual assault, rape reports through our crisis line. And we have advocates that respond in person. So if law enforcement or the hospital calls us to have an advocate available to talk about options and the process of forensic evidence collection, we can have advocates go out 24/7 to meet the person who's being assaulted. So an over 60% increase in requests for services is being really surprising.
Have you ever had that happen before? I mean, that's a big jump.
Not that I can remember. I'm sure that there have been times, but I am hoping that we can offer more training to our advocates. I'm hoping that we may have people interested in volunteering to become a sexual assault services response advocate and join our team so that we can continue to provide that vital service so people know what their options are.
So Thomas, talk about preparing for the first clients at the East Roseburg campus for Youth Housing Solutions. Sounds like a lot of work's been going on.
Yeah, this is really many years in the making, Kyle, and it's been really impressive joining the team at Peace at Home and learning about their very courageous board of directors that is not only stewarding this amazing team that stays available 24/7 to help people, but also wanting to help prevent further cases of interpersonal violence among partners by giving young adults and young people a stable place to be when they're in crisis. And that crisis, as we know, many communities in Oregon, we're struggling with housing. And so for the board to come forward and say that this housing campus that they own in East Roseburg is going to be dedicated to youth is just huge. And we're very excited because we believe the first youth to be lodged in the campus will occur sometime around late February, early March. And so this is getting exciting, but this work started probably 2021 is when this work started talking after the shuttering of Casa de Belen.
So talk about the campus and what all will be going on there.
Yeah, we're really excited. There's an amazing younger nonprofit, but they've been in, they just had their fifth anniversary. You may have heard of FARA, or Family, Faith, and Relationship Advocates. They are stepping forward and they're opening a program they have named Domespe, which is Latin for Home of Hope. And this location will allow for youth ages 11 to 17 to be able to receive housing when in crisis. So kind of getting back to that old Casa de Belen, where does an unaccompanied minor go when they are a runaway or they don't have a place to be tonight? Well, now we will have this 24/7 location with FARA opening Domespe. Furthermore, the Peace at Home Board, we are opening our own transitional housing units for youth 18 to 22. So these will be five or six units that are in a house that's been refashioned into a duplex, and these rooms will be for rent, essentially. And we'd be, prioritizing which youth have these rooms, but these youth could be there weeks or even years. We just want youth at those pivotal ages, 18 to 22, to have a place to get sheltered. And so this may be just a couple rooms in the community at large, but still, there's nothing like this right now. So we're really excited to bring this resource online.
And you've got one more component of this, right?
Yes, there's also an amazing nonprofit in town that's called Tasha's House, and they are an LGBTQ advocacy organization. They're named after a local person of renown who was very passionate about serving transgender youth. And so they've created a drop-in center. They host events there, and they'll be also partnering with us to have space available for case management for all youth. But the campus also has a garage facility, which we are repurposing into a food, hygiene, and clothing pantry, which will be gender inclusive for all youth. No matter what kind of clothes you're looking for, we can help you out.
All right, we're going to talk more about this when we come back. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1246. Lars Larson coming up at 1 o'clock. And from Peace at Home Advocacy Center, Melanie Prummer and Thomas McGregor talking about some work that is going on. Thomas, you were just telling us about all the components of this campus. end. It's a long-term conversation. A lot of times when it comes to youth homelessness, it seems like that's been something that has been really hard to navigate, to work on here in the area, yet at the same time, the need seems like it's gone up.
Yeah, I think we all know that housing is a limited resource in all Oregon communities. And so as youth go out into the world, there's less inventory for them, as well as there's less inventory for employers who, you know, have new employees, or for folks who are just needing sheltering from the riverbank or whatnot. But when you're working with youth, and you're going to take a youth in and you're going to have services available 24/7, you have to go through a lot of rigor. As we can imagine, these youth need to be safe, they need to be respected, they need to know that the state essentially has to get involved. And so Family, Faith, and Relationship Advocates, FARA, with their program Dome Spay, they've gone through all the licensing work, and that's working with the state agencies to make sure that when these youth are there, there's a lot of things that are put in place. And so one of the houses on this campus, which used to be a house sitting in the parking lot at RHS before its expansion in the late 90s, early 2000s, it's going to be available for these youth ages 11 to 17. And they're going to have an estimate right now, 6 to 8 beds, which is doesn't sound like a lot, but it is a lot when we're working with years now without any place for an unaccompanied minor to go.
So, Melanie, how is all this being funded?
Well, right now we have some funding as a collective through Oregon Community Housing Services, and we love seeing this acronym. It's YEHAW is the acronym for the funding that we're receiving, and it's really Youth Emergency Housing Services through OHCS. And that allows many partnering organizations, even beyond the organizations that are on the campus, to work with our school districts and the McKinney-Vento liaison so that we can identify families and youth who may be at risk of homelessness or currently experiencing houselessness, and connecting them to resources to either prevent them from losing their home or to engage them in services to find housing.
And then you'll also have to, I imagine, be kind of working on a long-term funding for all of this so that, you know, you don't run into issues where that becomes a concern.
Yeah, so all three of the organizations have some pretty skilled people in grant writing. And, of course, we have great local support. Even this last month, people have been reaching out, asking us about what types of things we need for startup. I would say one of the things that is high on my list, maybe Thomas's too, is how could we get some landscaping services out to the campus? So one of our funders to help with some of the remodel of one of the houses has been Umpqua Health Alliance through one of their share grants. And as you can imagine, construction in the winter, it's pretty muddy out there, but the landscaping has been non-existent for a few years now. So we're trying to get this property to a beautiful space so that young people can enjoy it and feel like it's their sanctuary. And so I would say that's a pretty great need coming up in the next couple of months.
So talk about kind of one of, I guess, it's your strategic vision about alleviating the root causes of domestic violence, of sexual assault, about all the things that kind of tie into this sometimes.
Yeah, of course. I think having a community that is educated, and I feel like now this, I'm going on 14 years doing this work, that I see more and more people understanding the root causes of domestic violence, understanding the power and control dynamic, and really speaking up in their community about not tolerating violence and supporting people. And so our goal is to continue to provide education to the community as well as individually for people who are experiencing violence. And really offering opportunities for empowerment and helping people gain control of their life again. And so it's going to take a community, it takes a society to address these root causes.
And Thomas, on this campus, you mentioned using one of the garages for a pantry. Tell us more about what some of the things are that are going to be offered there.
Yeah, so this is just a simple, food pantry like many agencies in Douglas County offer. But I think the unique factor is having the LGBTQ advocacy organization to really give us that voice and understanding what could help those clients. We all are understanding of terms like diversity, equity, and inclusion. And, many years ago, we've been doing this for decades in America. Like, for example, we installed handicap ramps in every parking lot, every entry in America years ago. And while now those are things that help delivery drivers and others, the curb effect, as it's called. And so as we build this pantry and we're thinking of, gender nonconforming or transgender youth, we're going to have a clothing pantry that welcomes all youth. It's not going to speak that. It's just going to be one that's really smartly done, that any type of youth that walks in and they feel like this pantry can help them. And there'll be changing rooms and things like that. And it's some of the staff, they want to basically achieve what I call a bohemian vintage store kind of look. So it won't look like an institutional service center. It'll look like something fun that young adults and youth will want to gain that respect and regain that, appearance. Because when you're a young adult or a youth, how you look is very important.
So this will be for youth beyond ones that are staying there on the campus, right?
We're wanting to have service providers on the campus. And so the campus is multiple buildings. And so, yes, we're hoping to have service providers be able to have space to do case management. And those are really nerdy ways to say that there'll be adults there that will have resources available to them. So employment programs or healthcare oriented workers, things of that nature that we'll be able to schedule with folks to, come meet me here at the campus. We can help get you onboarded into our programming and we can help get your basic needs met. So let's go stop by the food pantry. Let's go see if you need any clothing or things of that nature. So, the Yeehaw funds, those are really targeted towards K-12 households. And so helping kids stay in school but also having these housing resources that are so vital. Because Peace at Home is also really excited. They're bringing on some housing specialists that will be able to take care of maybe helping a household stay stable in their current house for 6 months. And these are some new funds that Melanie has more insight about that we're bringing online with our partner, Umpqua Health Alliance.
Yeah, Melanie, tell us more about that.
Yeah, so in essence, Peace at Home has been selected by Umpqua Health Alliance to become what's called an HRSN provider. And so what that means is that there are dollars available through Oregon Health Authority that are coming to our local coordinated care organizations, where providers in the community will be able to connect people at risk of homelessness to those funds through a process of understanding their situation, what their health needs are, and how being houseless really impacts your health. And so we're developing some policy right now. And as Thomas mentioned, we're also hiring for new positions, many new positions for both our health services as well as housing. And we also have some additional funding for our current shelter. And being able to continue to support families there. This last year, we actually served 15 young people, 18 to 25, at our shelter and helping them find permanent stable housing as well.
So, Thomas, when do you anticipate kind of a grand opening or really having a lot of this moving forward?
That's a really great question. The Yeehaw funds come directly from the governor's earmark recommendation in the last biennium. And we didn't apply for that fund. We were called up like, hey, we want to make sure you guys are doing good work. You guys have the resources to make some housing stability program go further, faster. We were just so excited about that. And that grant was signed on by FARA. And so we've been getting this question from people all over the state, in fact. And I think right now we're targeting March or April to have like kind of something that is bigger than just a couple balloons and a cake. I think we want to invite lots of folks because, you know, if you're a school district outside of Roseburg, you know, but Douglas County, maybe you need to visit this campus. Maybe you need to see when you're working with a household and or an unaccompanied minor who's run away, where could they find safety? And so we're really hopeful to have an event that maybe a day of events, you know, and meetings or whatever, and really celebrate this campus. But, you know, as Melanie said, the construction in the winter has been a little brutal. And so we're going to make sure it's ready for a grand opening, not a, you know, we'll have soft opening weeks and then probably something grand.
All right, that wraps that up. 1257.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM.